I want to start with a quote from somebody you probably know, and it's Eeyore. Eeyore says, well, this is about Eeyore. Eeyore, the old gray donkey, stood by the side of the stream and looked at himself in the water. Pathetic, he said. That's what it is, pathetic. He turned and walked slowly down the stream for 20 yards, splashed across it, and walked slowly back on the other side. Then he looked at himself in the water again. As I thought, he said, no better from this side. But nobody minds. Nobody cares. Pathetic. That's what it is. I don't know if you've ever felt that way before or not, but I was looking at some quotes from songs, popular songs that are out there. I'm not sure if they're current songs or not, but I want to read a few of those quotes from some of these songs. I don't want to live, to waste another day, underneath the shadow of mistakes I made, because I feel like I'm breaking inside. I don't want to fall and say I lost it all, because baby, there's a part of me to hit the wall, leaving pieces of me behind, and I feel like I'm breaking inside. Another one, I want to scream until no sound comes out, and you've learned your lesson. I want to swallow these pills to get sleep, to get to sleep, so I don't have to make a bad impression. I need to start to be myself, because I'm sick of everybody else. Another one, someone if you can see the dark inside of me, no one will ever change this animal I have become. Sounds kind of bleak, doesn't it, some of these songs. And one last one here. Darkness imprisoning me. All that I see, absolute horror, I cannot live, I cannot die, trapped in myself, body my holding cell. Well, we all face some difficulties in life, and as we can see, the people who wrote these lyrics must have been facing some real bleak situations and outlook on life. It makes me think of another quote here that someone sent me a while back, and I want to read that. Marcus, you want to put that one up? It's either from Plato or, I don't know how to say this, Philo of Alexandria. Nobody's quite sure which one said it. But it says, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. It's true. Young people, old people, men and women, children, young mothers, single people, everyone is fighting a battle. Some big, some small, some with confidence, and some with desperation. And I always hate it when Christmas starts to invade before Thanksgiving. You know, does that bug anybody else? Yeah. Well, I'm going to kind of break my own rule here this morning. So I was thinking about this and this kind of looking at these quotes and thinking about this darkness that seemed to pervade them. And I just couldn't contain myself when I started to think about this time of year, coming into Thanksgiving and Christmas. And the verse that I was drawn to is in Isaiah, and it says this. Speaking from Peter this morning, and he says that prophets have searched intently and with greatest care to find really this great light, when it was going to come. They looked intently to figure out when was this going to happen. And he says, even the angels long to look into these things. The angels, surely not. I think of the angels and think their existence must be a wonderful and awesome thing to work directly with God and to be in His presence. And yet it says that they long to look into this grace, this salvation, this great light that has come into the world of darkness. You and I live in a time where this light has dawned, where this inestimable grace has been offered, where hope is not elusive, but concrete and something that we can grab onto. And yet, I have probably been one of the worst offenders in looking at life kind of like Eeyore. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good at that at times. In fact, some people might say that maybe my wife, that I've perfected that over the years. I mean, I love Eeyore, but his outlook on life is not exactly one that I would like to necessarily emulate. And so I have to ask myself this question. Do I really understand, Rob, this great light that has come into the world? Do I get it? Well, Peter understands. And we study in 1 Peter chapter 1 in our Strive group. That's where we're going to be looking this morning. And I'm sorry to you guys, I just can't pull myself away from this passage. It's been with me the whole week since we've looked at it. And so we're going to talk about it some more this morning. But 1 Peter chapter 1 is bubbling with this kind of understanding. And I find it somewhat addicting to look at and to think about and to read. And so I want to use 1 Peter chapter 1 to use as a framework in this title that I've chosen, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So if you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 3 and go on through the beginning of verse 6. You can also follow along on the screen here behind me. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice." So I want to focus on the good to begin with. And Peter here gives us a lot of good to think about. We could dwell on each of these things that he draws out and spend a lot of time thinking about what those mean for us and what they look like. He talks about God's great mercy for us. He talks about this new birth that we are able to have through Christ. He talks about a living hope. When I think about those quotations that we looked at the beginning, I think, here are people who need a tremendous hope. They need some kind of hope in this world to hang on to. You and I know what it is that they're looking for. He talks about the possibility of resurrection, death to life, Jesus being raised from the dead, but also not only in Christ, but that we have that availability to us as well, that we can be changed. If you think about baptism and the words that would be used in baptism, of going down into the water and the symbolic, how that's symbolic of us, our death, and then coming up into new life out of the water, clean and fresh. He talks about an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And we know about inheritances that seem to, we're not quite sure if we're going to have them. You know, your 401k, whatever it is that you're trying to plan for the future. It's a little murky as to what's going to be around in 20 years or 30 years when you retire. What is your inheritance going to be on this earth? But here we have an inheritance that will never fade. Nothing can happen to it. It cannot be taken away from us. It won't spoil. Well, these are the things that I know. These are the things that angels dream to look into. These are the things that are being worked out. And yet, there are times where we find ourselves sounding like Eeyore. You say, "Good morning, Eeyore." Good morning. If it is a good morning, which I doubt. Anybody like that quote? It's another Eeyore quote. But he just kind of has this perspective of looking at life, and it doesn't really matter what good might be in his life or what might be happening. He kind of takes the other angle on it of focusing on the negative part. And so I look at these things that we know and how I respond to them, and I think the combination is somewhat puzzling at times. And I come back to the question, do you get it, Rob? Do you understand? It reminds me of trying to explain to engaged couples during premarital counseling that their future spouse might get boring sometimes. Now, those of you who just got engaged or maybe just got married still can't really understand that concept. But those of you who've been married for a while, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? That there are times where things just aren't quite as exciting as they used to be. Yeah, even sex has the potential to get boring. Can you believe that? Well, they don't. They say, get out of here. You got to be kidding me. And you know what? They're right. It shouldn't be that way. But the reality is, we forget what we have. We forget all the things that we have. And we start to take them for granted, don't we? It happens. The good that Peter describes here is beyond what we could sing about this morning. It's beyond what we could preach about or teach about. It's greater than spouses, and it's greater than sex. It's greater than fame or fortune. It really is something that is indescribable. But I know some of you are thinking out there, well, you don't know. You don't know all the bad things that have happened to me. And you're right. I don't know. And I don't pretend to understand your pain. I think it's difficult for us to understand the pain of another person. And it's a little presumptuous of us to say, you know, well, this is happening to you because of blah, blah, blah. Or this, I experienced this over here, and I'm sure it's just like what you're going through. Well, no. We really don't know. We can't presume. And so I don't make any light of the bad that you've experienced in your life. I don't know your battle exactly, but let's read on. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Well, Peter doesn't mince words here. He doesn't make light of our trials. He recognizes that we may have all kinds of trials. They come in all shapes and sizes, physical problems, financial problems, relationship problems. I know that you have them. They're common to all of us. What about these problems? How are we supposed to look at the bad? We've looked at the good. How are we supposed to look at the bad? Well, first we see in this verse here, I think, that we know that these trials, these problems, are momentary. He says they're here for just a little while. And even if we experience some of them our entire lives, it is only a small, tiny portion compared to the eternity that we're going to spend with our Savior in heaven. Paul calls them. He calls them light and momentary. And I know they don't seem that way, do they? They seem sometimes unending and very heavy. And they weigh us down, and we wonder whether we're going to be able to crawl out from underneath of them. Or whether things will ever change sometimes when we're in the middle of a trial. But I think, like Eeyore, I think our perspective needs a little bit of adjusting. In comparison to the good, they are only here for a little while, and they are light and momentary. And let's continue in verse 7. Peter says, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Like I said, I don't know why, and I won't pretend to know why you're experiencing the problems you have in your life. But I do know that God is a good God, that He does not bring evil upon us. Whatever difficulties come our way, whether from evil or the sin in the world, or from discipline that God brings to us, or from the consequences of sin in our lives, I know that God can redeem it. And He can use it to refine our faith, which is stated here as the ultimate of worth, greater than gold. It's of ultimate value to Him. Our faith may feel weak, even to the point of not existing, but in reality, the fire will prove it to be genuine. And you, in your weakness, will bring honor to Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That we, even in our weaknesses, can bring honor to Jesus Christ as our faith is proven genuine. Yes, the bad is hard, but it will be swept away by an ocean of good. I'd like to finish with the ugly. The way things come down is pretty unpredictable. Our lives take many unexpected turns, and it looks downright ugly from our perspective. In fact, we may be tempted to look at it and ask God, is this really what you had in mind? Things sometimes seem to be out of control and completely random as they happen. But we must remember that God is the one who created the universe. He created everything. He sustains everything. He cares about us. He knows the very hairs of our head, as Roger reminded us last Sunday. And He is working His plan. And His plan will not be defeated. These are some of the things we know. And I had to think of a tapestry when I was thinking of this. I couldn't find one exactly. I don't know, maybe someone has a big tapestry. But here's a small one. And what I was thinking of is, if you look at the back of a tapestry, often you see a lot of threads going every which direction. You can't really make any sense of what is happening, or what it might be trying to say, or any kind of beauty that you could see if you look at the back. And this one has some words on it, but you really can't read them. And it does have a few threads like that that don't look like they're... I don't know why they're in that position. But I think someday we are going to see the other side of the tapestry. And we're going to see the beauty of the tapestry that God is weaving in life. And so I like to think of that when I think of the ugly that we see in life, and realize that we really don't know and understand all the things that are happening and why they happen. And I don't know that we can explain those for other people exactly either. And often that's not a very big help either, to try and explain it. But we do know that God is in control, and that He is someone that we can trust. He's someone who loves us and cares for us. I'd like to conclude with verses 8 and 9. He says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Like I said, I make no claims to understand the weave of the Master's hand, but I do trust the Master's hand. I don't minimize in any way the problems that you have experienced, but I believe the good is incomparably greater than any of the bad. The good is forever, while the bad is temporary. And as we understand these truths, I hope that we can greatly rejoice and be filled with this same inexpressible and glorious joy. And especially as we approach Thanksgiving, may we have those thoughts in our heart and have a true Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you that we do not have to be overwhelmed by the problems and trials in our lives. We thank you for all the awesome things that you offer to us and that you have done for us. And I pray that we would allow those awesome things to overwhelm us. And Father, as we are filled with this joy that Peter talks about, we know not only are you the light of the world, but your light begins to shine through us to a world that desperately needs to see hope and love and forgiveness. And so, Father, I ask that through us, the world would see you and see this great light. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.